This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz, and I would like to welcome you into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. Every hospital has a private area where doctors go to get a cup of coffee and get together amongst themselves to discuss medical and healthcare matters. The Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio is an opportunity for you to listen in on these private conversations that doctors have, which very much impact your lives. You will have a chance to get the 411 on healthcare reform or Obamacare, the problems that exist in healthcare as a result of it, or that exist independent of it. And believe me, there are many, like the VA healthcare, for example, the topic that we devoted the kickoff show to last week in the Doctor's Lounge. These shows are rebroadcast throughout the week, and they're archived. So those of you who want to hear what we discussed can go to the Doctor's Lounge and listen to this. And the Doctor's Lounge is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation. This is a tax-deductible, not-for-profit organization, which is an offshoot of the membership organization of the same name, which I founded for doctors 5 years ago. The foundation is an educational organization which will teach the public about the problems in healthcare and offer solutions to these problems, real, credible solutions. Everyone can get involved in the foundation, and our website and the opportunities to help are nearly ready to be rolled out to the general public, and you'll hear more about them very soon on this show and on America's Web Radio. We'll also discuss other provocative topics on upcoming shows, like the problems with electronic medical records, such as the myth of the secure medical information and the reasons why the government has pushed so hard to make sure that doctors and hospitals have adopted it so quickly. My co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik, will be discussing this next week in the Doctor's Lounge. And Dr. Mike and I are both full-time physicians. We practice full-time in Atlanta, Georgia, where this show originates from, and we will alternate our hosting duties in the Doctor's Lounge to accommodate our busy medical practices. Dr. Mike is a head and neck surgeon. I'm a pediatric urologist, and future shows will not only explore the healthcare issues in politics and in economics, but we'll also explore medical controversies as well as timely healthcare matters that doctors talk about all the time in their lounges. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, as we invite today's guest into the lounge. We will be speaking with my good friend, Dr. Lee Gross, a family medicine physician from Northport, Florida. Lee has turned the world of healthcare delivery upside down by coming up with a model to deliver healthcare to patients without bankrupting them. That's right, an affordable healthcare model. This model, called Epiphany Healthcare, has captivated people in the business world and gotten the attention of the insurance industry. Dr. Gross is also president of the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, the sponsor of the Doctor's Lounge. So I'd like to welcome Lee into the Doctor's Lounge. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Hal. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you.
Lee, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and about Epiphany Health?
Well, as you said, my name is Lee Gross. I'm a practicing family physician, originally from the greater Cleveland, Ohio area. I trained at Case Western Reserve University, did my residency training at University Hospitals of Cleveland, where I was the chief resident of that program. And getting tired of the gray skies and cold weathers in Cleveland, I packed up my bags and moved down to sunny Southwest Florida. I decided to open up practice down here. And just like most people that are in primary care and in medicine in general, we are starting to see bigger headaches in practice, more outside intrusions into the doctor-patient relationship, starting to see more of the insurance and the government getting involved in the regulation of the doctor-patient encounter, telling you what you have to do, which medications you have to use, what treatments you can use and what you can't use, and what treatment protocols need to be done. And it just was getting more and more onerous every single day. And, you know, every time you hear the government mention the words weeding out fraud and abuse, that's another 100 pages of paperwork that needed to be filled out on our end. And it just was becoming more and more tiresome and burdensome to practice medicine. And we would talk about this with our colleagues at the end of the week. Every week we would get together and say, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to do this where there aren't so many people in the exam room with you and the patient telling you what you need to do. And so one day a patient of one of my colleagues came in and said, you know, doc, I have this heating and air conditioning business, and I have 10 employees, and all 10 of my employees see you. But I just got my insurance bill, and I'm paying almost $1,000 per employee for these people to then come and see you. Why don't I just pay you directly to take care of my employees, and then I can take out catastrophic high-deductible health insurance policy and save a fortune on that. And you know, even if I decided to come out of pocket and pay their deductibles for the people that needed health care services, I think I'd still come out far ahead. And so my colleague called me up and said, you know, what do you think about that? Is there something that we could do? And that was sort of the epiphany, is it was simple. It was right in front of us that we really didn't need all of these outside influences to control the healthcare conversation. And so from there, that was in 2008. We began exploring, and after a year and a half of doing legal work and accounting work to vet out the program, we ended up building a network of labs and pharmacies and imaging centers around us that were willing to take huge discounts on services if patients agreed to pay cash time service. So what we ended up doing is creating the Epiphany Health Program, which is a direct primary care program where we charge a flat monthly fee, just like a health club would. You know, when you join a health club, you pay a monthly fee, and you don't pay extra to use the sauna or the gym equipment or the treadmill. You pay one fee, and that's it, and everything's included. So everything that we can do in our office is included for our flat monthly fee, which is cheaper than you would pay for your cell phone. We charge about $80 a month. That includes up to 25 office visits per year with no copays, no deductibles. We include all of our blood work, and for women, we include mammograms and pap tests. And if I need to do a joint injection or take off a skin cancer or sew up a laceration, I can do all of that at no additional charge. So we have been doing this. We began enrolling our first patient in January of 2010. So we're now good almost 4 years into this program. It is extremely viable, and it's the only reason that I can remain in private independent practice. I am now the last independent practice in our community. Every single other practice is sold out to large organizations, hospitals, and multi-specialty groups.
Lee, why is that bad?
Well, when you're the employee of the multi-specialty group, your interests really lie in your employment. The employer basically becomes the person that's controlling the healthcare conversation.
So you're basically working for your patients and not for an entity, and that's the difference between you and some of the doctors who have sold their practices to the hospitals or to corporations.
Absolutely. And because sort of the fee-for-service gets a little bit of a bad reputation, I think perhaps maybe wrongfully so, but in no way are we fee-for-service. We don't charge extra for things that we do. I don't get, you know, incentives for ordering more tests. I don't get penalized for ordering anything. It's just a pure relationship between me and the patient, and if we do something, it's because it's in the best interest of the patient that's sitting in front of me. And we can make individualized decisions based upon the needs of the single person, as opposed to making decisions based upon the best interests of the corporation, the community, the business.
Lee, we're told by everybody about how expensive health care is, that the costs are spiraling out of control. How can you actually do this kind of model and say that it saves money?
Well, number one, because we're doing it, you know, we have, again, 4 years of proof that this actually works. But you know, primary care is not expensive stuff, and most things that people, the average person, need can be really accomplished at the primary care level. So if you think about what my costs are, you know, I don't use a $10,000 hip orthotic. I use a $1.50 hypodermic syringe from time to time. I have paper on my exam tables. I have very inexpensive equipment. My medications, if I give you an injection, it's, you know, a couple dollars is our cost on some of those things. So health care at the primary care level does not need to be expensive. It's cheap. Health insurance is very expensive. So if you were to imagine that we have to bundle into a single package and sell it for one price, we're going to bundle your affordable primary care services, but now we have to tie that to an insurance product that also covers end-of-life care, hip replacements, pacemakers, chemotherapy. If that all needs to be bundled together, it really drives up the cost of primary care services because the two are tied together. But if you can free up the basic services from that very cost-driving care, then it makes primary care services come crashing down, and now it's very affordable.
So what happens if you have a patient in your office who is sick, who needs to be put into the hospital, or who needs a surgical procedure? Then what happens?
Well, we encourage all of our patients to have a high-deductible health plan for catastrophic care. And if you work out the prices for a patient, let's say they bought a traditional PPO insurance plan versus buying a high-deductible health plan plus our Epiphany Health program, the average family of four over 10 years would save probably about $70,000. And that's an enormous amount of money. So if you know, if they were to save that money, they could definitely pay for any sort of catastrophic events that came up. But you know, now under the Affordable Care Act, basically every policy now has a high deductible health plan.
So how hard is it for people to find these catastrophic plans in the current marketplace?
Well, that's sort of an interesting change in the landscape now that the Affordable Care Act is up and running. You know, it used to be that you could go out and purchase, say, a $10,000 skeleton policy, high-deductible health plan that really just had the things that you needed for absolute emergencies. But now, with the Affordable Care Act, the maximum deductible has been decreased, so you can't get those real high-deductible policies anymore. And now you're forced to cover first-dollar coverage for a lot of things that people don't necessarily need. You know, for example, the birth control for a 50-year-old woman that's had a hysterectomy. You know, those are the types of things that are mandatory first coverage that you're paying for that you don't necessarily need. So, you know, when we used to say, you know, we want high-deductible health plans and health savings accounts, you know, you would think we'd be cheering that these policies are coming out and they're all high-deductible health plans, but they're very bloated and very expensive high-deductible health plans.
At least as dictated by the current powers that be that rule healthcare.
Absolutely.
So walk us through how much it – well, before I ask you this, so who is the – well, you know what? We're coming up to a hard break. So let me just ask you one quick question. Is Epiphany insurance?
Absolutely not. Epiphany is a direct primary care relationship between the patient and the physician. We have no actuarial risks here. There's no risk of loss. The patient basically pays their own way, but at drastically reduced prices. The patient still needs to have some sort of coverage for catastrophic care outside of our office. But fortunately, we have the ability to keep people out of the hospital by providing high-quality care.
Wow, that's just tremendous. Well, we'll talk more about the actual costs and get a little bit further into this model as when we come back in the next segment. You're listening to the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and today we're visiting with Dr. Lee Gross, the founder of Epiphany Health, and we're talking about the model that he's put together, which is really a groundbreaking healthcare delivery model. Lee, walk us through the patient, the family, that the typical family that would come to you and want to sign up for Epiphany Health.
Well, we tend to market ourselves more towards the uninsured, just because they're a very vulnerable population. Florida happens to be one of the states that did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. And so we have a section of the population that falls between 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level that many of them don't have insurance, can't afford insurance. And when they go to the health insurance, I hate to call it a marketplace because it's not a marketplace, but the healthcare.gov website to apply for insurance, they find that they don't qualify for subsidies, and these insurance policies are running $600 a month for a $6,000 deductible. And so there are sort of people in the gaps that we seem to really be helpful for that particular population. So, you know, historically you would think a practice like ours would be considered a concierge-type model where you're targeting the elite. We're doing absolutely nothing of the sort. You know, this is a very blue-collar community that I work in. You know, these people are in construction jobs and hardworking people, but, you know, they can't afford the types of insurance policies that are out there. So we are providing an affordable solution. Ovik Roy from Forbes' website, his blog, he sort of jokingly refers to us as concierge care for the little guy, and that's pretty much what we are targeting.
So if I'm a head of household and I'm married and I have two kids, how much does it cost me to come to see you through Epiphany?
Under our pricing, you would be about $150 a month for the family.
$150. So for $150, my whole family can get their basic care from you.
Yeah, in that ballpark, yep, right about there.
Wow, that doesn't seem very expensive. It's less expensive than some people are paying for their cable bill.
That's exactly the intent of the pricing on it, because, you know, I would see these people that you know, claim that they can't afford care, but they have very nice cell phones. And so we wanted to make sure that our pricing was set at about that same price point. And so we're actually coming in under what most people would pay for their cell phones and what they'd pay for their cable television.
Well, didn't President Obama tell the young people that they should give up their cell phones so they can sign up for health care on the exchange?
Yes, and I'm taking them at the door, so we're taking cell phones and collected.
Well, you don't have to give up your cell phone if you're on Epiphany. You can have both your cell phone and direct primary care from you.
And here's the best part, Hal, is that this is not charity care for us. This is a very profitable venture.
You're making money from this?
Believe it or not, that nasty word profit, we're actually able to provide affordable quality care and make a profit at this. We're actually able to make a decent living.
Wow, making a profit, that is a dirty word. But, you know, I think that for those who want to come into the doctor's lounge and hear what doctors are talking about all the time, it's the only way that we can stay in business and not sell our practices to the hospitals.
Absolutely.
So how has the business community responded to Epiphany?
Oh, it's been overwhelmingly supportive. The business community has loved it. The political community, we've been well received wherever we've taken this message.
Why is the business community so enthralled with this?
Well, I gave a talk in Orlando at a conference there. And the president of the Leadership Council of the National Federation of Independent Businesses came up to me afterwards, and we were talking. And out of the blue, he called me up a couple weeks later and said he wanted to come on down with one of his colleagues to talk about our program. And so he and his colleague drove probably almost 4 hours and spent 5 hours with me and my partner, Dr. Bill Crouch. And after talking with them, I said, you know, why does the NFIB have any interest in this? Why are you guys driving all the way across the state to our little practice here? And he said, you know, for 30 years we've been polling small businesses as to what are the concerns of the small businesses. And he said, for 30 years, number one has been the cost of health care, bringing down the cost of health care. And he said, and in 30 years of us looking at this, this is the only program we've ever seen that actually accomplishes that goal. So
wow,
we're going to drive across the state and do whatever we can to learn about this and to help promote this.
So is anybody else doing this?
Well, since we started this in 2010, practices are now popping up all around the country. Primary care doctors are getting squeezed to the point where I guess the pressure is getting so great we're creating some diamonds out of the pressure. These practices are jumping up everywhere. There are now some associations popping up to help support this. Of course, we have practices like Atlas MD in Wichita, Kansas. There's Q Lions out in Seattle, Washington, which really is a pioneer in the field. That's largely responsible for a lot of legislation. They have millions of dollars in venture capital behind them now. And so this is definitely a growing movement that's getting the attention of people nationwide.
And politicians?
Absolutely. And you know, this is something, Hal, you and I have been to Washington many times together. And it doesn't matter which office I walk into, whether it's a Democrat, whether it's a Republican, this has incredibly positive support. And I can tell a story about one time when Hal and I were in Washington and we were standing out in front of the Capitol. We had probably about 100 doctors out there. We had just made our house calls on Congress. And we were wearing buttons that said, you know, ask us about health care reform. And we looked over to our right, and there were about 1,500 nurses from the nursing union that were flown in from all around the country by the nurses union, and they were waiting for their buses, and they had T-shirts on that said, healthcare for everyone, send the bill to Wall Street. And it didn't take long for us to realize that we were both there for the same purpose but had completely different visions on how to achieve that goal. And these were people from the Occupy Wall Street movement, and the nurses came up and said, you know, what are you here for? And I said, well, we're here to talk to members of Congress about free market solutions in health care. And she said, well, how would you do that? And I said, well, with high deductible health plans, health savings accounts, and a direct primary care program for basic care of everyone. And she said, oh, so if you don't have health insurance, you just die in the street. And I said, well, no, not exactly. And I pulled out my brochure, and I said, well, for, you know, less than that cell phone in your pocket there, I'm going to provide all your basic care needs. I'm going to treat your diabetes, your asthma, your heart disease. I'm going to do your mammogram, your pap test, take off your skin cancers, inject your sore joints, and do anything you need to keep you healthy. And she looked at the brochure. She said, this is fantastic. Took it back.
We should have signed them up on the spot.
We should have. But, you know, that's always how the conversation goes. It's, you know, sort of initially, this can't be possible, and then, it is possible, and you're actually doing it.
So what happens if a family doctor comes into your town and decides to open up a direct primary care practice, and instead of charging $83 a month for primary care services, decides to charge $50?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and in fact, that is actually part of what's happening around the country. We're seeing practices up in Michigan that are charging $40 a month. We're seeing practices charging $50 a month. But the first time when I was in Washington, I gave that presentation, that was actually the first question on the audience is, okay, so what if somebody undercuts you and now they're going to do it for cheaper? Well, my answer to that is that, you know, that question has never been had in the United States healthcare conversation. Nobody has ever asked what happens when you bring down the cost of healthcare or when you introduce competition in the marketplace. But I suppose what would happen is either I would need to lower my prices or I would need to provide a quality of service that justifies why I'm charging more than the competition.
Wow, what a concept.
And it's sort of a built-in pay for performance. So you don't have to have these artificial metrics of are you prescribing enough of this medication? Are you ordering enough tests on your patients to meet the quality measures to get your bonus? The patients vote with their feet. If you're not providing a good service, they're going to go to somebody that is.
So people will pay extra money to see Dr. Gross because they know that the quality of care that Dr. Gross has been giving for the last 20 years in Northport, Florida, is a known quantity, and they're not sure about this new guy coming in who is just opening up shop, who's charging $30 a month less.
Absolutely. Or I may need to bring my prices down. You know, in talking with my friend Dr. Keith Smith of the Oklahoma Surgery Center, where he just charges cash rates and publishes his rates online, you don't know what the right price is because there is no market or free market for healthcare. Until you get competition in the marketplace, nobody knows what the right price is for this stuff. So this just happens to be the right price for us now. And, you know, we're drawing patients from all over the state. You know, people drive 2-3 hours to see us.
Well, this is you know, really groundbreaking kind of stuff. And do you expect that this is going to be a model that revolutionizes healthcare in this country, and it will be the standard bearer for primary care?
It certainly has that potential, and I think that if the independent private practice of medicine is to remain a viable entity, then it has to be a direct primary care relationship. I don't see that it's possible to survive in private practice without doing some sort of relationship like this. The other thing is that, you know, if as we're getting into a time in healthcare where more and more healthcare is being pushed off to mid-level providers, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, there will be a demand of patients that actually want to see a physician. And the only way for physicians to sort of monetize that demand or that need is to leave the third-party system that basically does not have any value or establish any value for a primary care physician.
That's a very scary concept for most doctors. And we will talk a little bit more about that and get into some of the other aspects of the Epiphany model and some of the potential problems that you've faced in establishing this when we come back in the next segment. You're listening to the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. FollowSniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Please join us at 4 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons.
Docs for Patient Care Foundation is a 501c3 organization that is sponsoring the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. It is an educational arm of and a separate entity of the group of the same name, Docs for Patient Care. And we are dedicated to preserving the doctor-patient relationship and promoting healthcare freedom in the U.S. And we will educate the public through the media, through our offices and other venues about the problems in healthcare and come up with credible solutions in how they can push back and fight for their own healthcare. And in coming weeks when we are up and running, we'll have ways that the public can get involved in the Docs for Patient Care Foundation.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Hi, this is Dr. Hal, and you're in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I hope that you're enjoying this show, and if you are, I ask that you tell your friends about it and send them the information by email, by social media like Facebook or Twitter, or print up the splash page from our website and keep it in your waiting rooms for your patients to pick up if you're a physician. Our goal is to educate your patients, and what better way to do that than directing them to us and allowing them to get some of the inside baseball information that they're missing, but that they need to know about. You can go to the Doctor's Lounge at AmericasWebRadio.com to get some feedback back to us. We've gotten great feedback from our last show, and we hope to hear from you about this show and the shows that we do in the future. There are also apps available for download from the website that will let you listen to the show on your smartphone or tablet. So I invite you to do that and hope that you'll support the Doctor's Lounge and tell everybody about us. So let's get back to our guest in the lounge, Dr. Lee Gross, and talk more about Epiphany Health. Epiphany Health is a direct primary care model that Lee Gross has come up with that allows patients to get basic health care for less than $160 a month, which is an unbelievable concept, and it's actually driving the cost of healthcare down, bending the cost curve the way that we were told it needed to be bent down. Well, Lee is actually doing this. Lee, we got had a question from our engineer here in the studio about what you're doing, I think that maybe you should tell the listeners about why direct primary care can do what they do, why a family medicine doctor can do, you know, minor procedures like take off cancers or inject joints in this age of specialization.
Yeah, so family medicine residency is a three-year residency program after medical school. And in family medicine, we basically train in every single specialty. So we do rotations in orthopedics, and we do several months of inpatient and outpatient surgical residencies. We do trauma surgery rotations and deliver babies. We do classes and take rotations in obstetrics and ear, nose, and throat and urology. And we basically go into all of these specialties and do these things. So, you know, in training, we're scrubbed in surgeries and doing surgical assisting, doing colonoscopies. And so when a family physician goes into private practice, they really can sort of pick and choose what areas they're comfortable and what they want to do in their practice. But just like somebody trains in a specialty, family medicine is a specialty. It's just a very broad field, and so as long as a family physician recognizes their limitations and their comfort levels, there really are tremendous opportunities to provide comprehensive services without having to refer out. So we can accomplish a lot just within our office here.
And it fits the narrative that we are being told about, or the model that we're being pushed toward, of the medical home.
Well, yeah, I mean, it basically is a medical home. Now, we don't necessarily take the team approach where you basically belong to the patient belongs to the institution and to the team, and the whole team has to care for the patient. That almost puts the team first ahead of the patient. Where our program basically is all about the individual patient. So under the patient, the patient medical home with the team approach, everything is going to be you have to meet certain metrics, and every patient has to follow the care path and be treated identically. Not every patient is identical. Not every situation is identical. So, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But if you have an entire toolbox, then the sky's the limit on what you can do for the patient in front of you.
Right, and I don't mean the medical home in a pejorative way. I'm saying that the family medicine doctor really is the place or the person who helps to orchestrate the kind of care that patients should be getting, and if they're comfortable giving it, which is going to depend on each individual doctor, then that really is preferable. And if they're not, then they can get those people to the appropriate specialist for whatever kind of care their family medicine doctor thinks they need.
Absolutely. And and as this model is evolving and as these practices are popping up, you're seeing very creative ideas. I mean, you have physicians that are doing Skype visits. They'll go, now they're actually making house calls again, believe it or not. Doctors are going to patients' workplaces and seeing them there, which helps improve employee productivity. It keeps people at work. Again, as it grows, there's really some pretty exciting things that people are doing with this.
Can direct patient care, like you have very well demonstrated in primary care, be used for anything other than primary care?
It absolutely can. I think it probably would work best with any sort of what we refer to as a cognitive specialty. People that are more internal medicine based. So, for example, rheumatology is a great field for this. Somebody has rheumatoid arthritis or any other rheumatologic condition that you're going to see your specialist with regularity. That's a great program for them. It's probably not so good for the proceduralist that does a lot of surgeries. I think they're still going to remain predominantly a fee-for-service type situation, but for other people that are internal medicine based, this definitely can be done. I did want to talk a little bit sort of about some of the costs and how we sort of got to where we were.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, so much like say Priceline.com would get discounted hotel rooms. They'll go to a hotel and say, if you have a room that's going to be vacant, what can you sell that room for? If you're guaranteed that room's going to be paid for in advance, and they'll list a price, and of course those prices are very inexpensive. We took basically the same principle. We went to the local imaging centers and said, you're not running your CAT scanner 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you have open slots in it, you know, just list your prices to what you can sell that CAT scan for. We didn't twist arms. We just said, name your best price for if our patients agree to pay you cash at the time of service. And they came in astronomically low. You know, so for example, I'm getting MRIs for $200.
Holy mackerel.
I'm getting chest x-rays for about $20. I can do a CAT scan of your head for about $175. So for the imaging prices, they're dirt cheap. And so, you know, we'll have a patient, and I had a patient that was coughing up blood, and I said, you need a CAT scan of your chest, and she said, I can't afford that. And that was the initial knee-jerk reaction. I can't afford that. Well, yes, you're right. In a traditional system, that CAT scan would probably run you about $1,000. You can't afford that. But you can afford $175. And so, you know, once she found out the real price, it's, oh, yeah, I can afford that. I can do that. Now, we're also contracted with lab companies to order our blood work. And I can give you an example of one of the first patients that we signed up. She saw her rheumatologist, and her rheumatologist gave her an order for blood work. She went to the lab, and the lab quoted her $1,800 for her blood work.
Yeah.
And she called up, and she said, don't I get some sort of discount for being in the Epiphany program? And we said, yeah, but we got to put it under our account. We got to write it under our prescription. She took it back to the same lab, and the bill was
$80. Oh, gosh.
And so for, you know, in just one prescription alone, she paid for almost 2 years of her membership in our primary care program. And with her savings, now she can afford to see her specialist. She can afford the specialist bill. So now she can get care. We can, and you know, and everybody's doing well. We're making money. She's saving money. And it works wonderfully. And we're seeing those savings time and again.
Why is there such a markup, Lee?
Well, that's what happens when people are disconnected from the cost of their care, is they're not smart consumers. And it's not that they're not smart consumers, it's that they don't know that these savings can be had. So, you know, when you're not responsible for your bills, there's no incentive for you to negotiate or to look for best prices. All you know is your copay is $10, but you don't know what the actual bill was, $1,800.
Wow. That really is just remarkable, and it you know, speaks of what is happening in the hospitals as well, with the disconnect between the care that is being provided and the actual costs for that care, and the hospitals are marking up their bills for the price of pills or procedures, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 times.
Yeah, the talk that I give around the country, I actually share a patient bill from an emergency room visit. Patient went to the ER for abdominal pain and was there for several hours and had a CAT scan of the belly and some blood work, and the bill came to $20,000, and I actually show an itemized bill. It's just under $20,000. Now, if that patient were to have come to us instead of the emergency room and we did the exact same test, we ordered the same tests. We can get things real time on an outpatient setting. We can get stat labs. It would have been about $300.
Are you kidding me? Holy mackerel!
Yeah,
that's crazy. So probably the businesses that have their own self-funded plans are just loving this.
Well, and that's really, I think, the way that we're trying to expand this is working with the small business community. You know, businesses under 50 employees. You know, if you look at large businesses, what they'll do is they'll bring primary care in-house. You'll set up a primary care clinic. They'll hire a nurse practitioner and run their clinic. And if an employee goes to the clinic, they don't pay anything. Well, now we're able to make that happen for a small business. You know, 50 employees or less. And then what they can do is they can then self-insure for any sort of uncompensated care.
Well, you know, I think that's clearly the model for the future. Well, when we come back in the last segment, we will wrap up Epiphany Health and what people might look forward to in the future for their own health care. You're listening to The Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Hal. This is the final segment. We've been talking with Dr. Lee Gross, the founder of Epiphany Health. Lee, has there been any pushback from any segments of healthcare on Epiphany?
We have actually not really seen any pushback. This has been that's been one of the surprises that, you know, in all the debates and all the tone that is set nowadays in healthcare with people, everybody arguing. This is one thing that I can say that has been very, very well received from everyone we've presented this to.
Well, even the insurance industry.
Well, you know, the insurance industry, I think, is just, they're too caught up in what's going on and the changes to even pay attention to what we're doing right now. They're so focused on just coming into compliance and dealing with the headaches of the Affordable Care Act that I just don't think that this is necessarily on their radar screen. Now, you know, in talking with some of the legislators about trying to get favorable legislation to help protect programs like ours and help them grow, you know, I think that their concern is what the insurance companies will think about it. And I think, you know, perhaps the knee-jerk reaction of the insurance industry would be that they would feel threatened by what we're doing because we're wrestling some of the control away from them. But they should really be very supportive of what we're doing because their products are able to become insurance again. They're able to actually have insured against an unexpected loss as opposed to predictable first dollar coverage. And so, you know, we're taking care of the people that they've neglected for years, decades. So I think we're solving a problem that they've not been able to solve. So I think, you know, we should be able to have a perfect marriage.
It seems that this would be a threat also to the people who are the supporters of the Affordable Care Act. It's giving patients more control over their health care, not less.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, you probably realize that, you know, what the Affordable Care Act has done is basically firmly put us on the path to a two-tiered system where you're going to have one pathway that is, you know, centrally controlled, government-controlled health care where they determine what you can and cannot have and they'll determine what a physician is allowed to make and what's a reasonable amount to earn. And then you're going to have the people that want individualized care and they're willing to part with their own money to make sure that they get personalized and individualized care. And so, you know, that's the direction I think we're going. And I think we're well out in front of that.
So how have your colleagues responded to Epiphany?
extraordinarily well. I mean, the people that have ended up in the large corporations, I think, are really getting squeezed. Initially they'll go into them and they'll be promised large salaries, and before you know it, their 15-minute office visits are now 7-minute office visits. They're seeing 40 patients a day, and just they feel like they're on a treadmill. And then they look and sort of see what we're doing, and are very supportive of it. We're also getting with regularity specialists that say, "Hey, we want to, we're interested in working with you on this. Can I give you some prices, and can you send some cash-paying patients our way?" So now we're contracted with ambulatory surgery centers. We have cardiology, gastroenterology, rheumatology, nephrology, all under contract. And, basically the contract with these physicians basically says is name your price, make it, total price transparency so we know to the penny what our patients are going to pay to come see you. And we have a menu of services that we can utilize and send our patients to these specialists. And, the only caveat or the only catch for the patients is if you want that price, you have to pay. You have to pay when you see the doctor. They can't bill you. You can't make payments. It's all payment up front.
But those payments are very affordable.
Absolutely. And the common misconception is that doctors can't charge less than Medicare rates. And that's actually not true. Because you'll find in many markets in the country, Medicare is the best paying payer. And your Blue Crosses and your Aetnas will pay far less than Medicare. And so people do it all the time. Medicaid pays less than Medicare.
Right.
And so it is able to be done, and so we are definitely doing it. So and the advantage to the physician is they don't have to bill. They don't have to wait 6 months to get paid. They don't provide a service and then 6 months later be told that it's denied. It's guaranteed payment for service at a price that they feel is reasonable.
So you brought up Medicaid. Tell me, how does Medicaid fit into this?
Well, the nearest doctor to me that accepts new adult Medicaid patients is about an hour and a half away.
Yeah, it's a big problem everywhere.
Yeah, and so you've put millions of new patients into Medicaid, but you've really done nothing to expand the Medicaid physicians. And so in states that did not expand Medicaid, they're still actually growing their Medicaid rolls. Patients were going to sign up for health insurance through the website, and they determined they were already eligible for Medicaid. So even states that didn't expand are still growing and finding it hard to access a physician. Their only access is they have access to the emergency room, which is the most expensive place on the planet to get health care. So, but these patients can afford to pay us. And so we're signing up Medicaid patients in our program for care all the time. And so Medicaid ends up being sort of our safety net catastrophic health care plan. If a patient does need to go to the emergency room or does need surgery, then the Medicaid will kick in for that. But otherwise, they're paying for routine services.
That's remarkable because in our community, there's a lot of Medicaid patients as well. And it seems that they would not want to pay anything out of pocket. They look at Medicaid as an entitlement. So I guess it really is a function of the access to care. If they are desperate and they have no access of care, they can either go to a practice like yours and pay cash or utilize the emergency room as their primary care.
Absolutely. And so I can use an example. When, in order to pay for the Affordable Care Act, they basically took away a lot of money for care of the uninsured around the country. They took away some of the safety nets to pay for Medicaid expansion. And so our county the health department had a primary care clinic that basically lost its funding. And so when the primary care clinic closed its doors, they sent out notice to all of their patients that they had two choices. They could either go to the federally qualified health center, which is where the funding got shifted to. So you can't now have a county-based or a local-based operation. It has to go to a federal program. Or they could go to Epiphany Health. And so these patients, our phones started ringing off the hook. Patients that were previously paid for by taxpayer dollars were now paying their own way to sign up to have affordable health care services. So we were getting people off the tax subsidies.
Lee, we're going to need to wrap this up. If people want to learn more about Epiphany Health, how can they do that?
They can go to our website. It's Epiphany, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y, health.net.
Okay. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you today about Epiphany Health, and I hope that you'll come back at some point in the future and talk more with us about this.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Well, I hope that everyone has enjoyed today's discussion as much as I have, and I'd like to share with you one of the many activities that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation is involved with. We're proud sponsors of the Steamboat Institute, which you can learn more about by going to www.steamboatinstitute.org. We've been helpful at getting the keynote speaker for this year's event, Dr. Ben Carson. And we're putting together a healthcare breakout session at this meeting. And I'd like you to go to the website and check it out. There's a boatload, and that's no pun intended, of incredible participants in this two-day symposium in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, August 22nd to the 23rd. And seating is extremely limited in this very intimate setting, so I invite you to sign up quickly and make plans to attend. Next week, my co-host, Dr. Mike, will be discussing a topic that he's truly an expert in, the electronic medical record boondoggle. It'll be an eye-opening discussion for everyone, even physicians who have strong opinions about this matter. So I'd like to thank you again for joining us. I'd like to thank David Moxley and America's Web Radio. I'll be back with you in 2 weeks to discuss medical malpractice and possible solutions to this festering problem. Until then, stay engaged and stay healthy.